Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz violinist William Lamoureux for the Canadian band So Long 7. On behalf of the band, he talked about their new 2022 CD, Only Elephants Know Our Name, COVID life, the band's history, and their future. So Long 7 is a great mix of jazz, classical, blues, folk, and music from around the globe. They have a great story. Enjoy this interview.
Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Of course.
The name of the band, So Long 7, are you guys done with that number, or what's it mean?
Yeah. I mean, we get asked that question all the time. And what we've been doing, well, the band used to be called Oolong 7, like the strain of tea. But a member of the band, which was the violinist, created the band, but then a year in, had to quit the band, and they were looking for another violinist and another name. But back in the day, it used to be called the Oolong 7, and then they changed the name to So Long 7. What they've been doing is we ask our fans, we ask the audience, you know, what they think of it, and we always get a bunch of cool stories.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you taking time out, and it's good to have context. Before we get into Elephants Know Our Name, your latest album, I want to know how you all did surviving this COVID period the last couple of years, and how it changed you as a band.
We used to rehearse once a week at Tim's house, the banjo player. We create and write tunes in the same room, essentially, you know, a lot of the times. So what we did is we tried to get everyone on the digital platform, try to get everyone on recording softwares, and try to pitch ideas in a completely different way. And this allowed us to take a lot of our time to gather ideas and think of different takes, because otherwise everything would happen so spontaneously, you know, which is a great thing too. But we had to change in that way, where we had to be a little more, we had the opportunity to think a lot more about what we wanted to express as individuals in the band, you know, and that collectively changed the way we play music together, and, you know, changed our sound, like, drastically in a lot of ways. This album, in a way, is a lot more produced than the other ones by virtue of it being recorded, you know, some of it being recorded remotely. And, the opportunity to add layers and to think of, you know, different instrumentations, not having to stick to our standard instrumentation. So it changed in a lot of ways through the pandemic, for better or for worse. You know, we're in a way kind of grateful for it, because it's brought us where we are now. So
Only Elephants Know Our Name comes out September 30th, and it's a mix of jazz, classical, blues, folk, and it just has kind of an atmosphere to it. Talk to me a little bit about how good it feels to be able to come out with music now that the world's opening up.
Oh boy, it's a blessing. We never thought it would happen again, or we didn't know it would be possible in a way. You know, a lot of us had lost hope. And throughout the pandemic in Canada, I mean, there was a lot of false starts as well. You know, there would be like a glimpse of light, like, okay, maybe we can start playing together in a specific context, and then not really, you know, had to go back inside. So we weren't sure it was going to happen, but now that it is and is back to somewhat normal, we're extremely grateful, and we're about to go on tour to promote this new record, and it's kind of a dream come true in a way, to be back in person and to share music in a room with people is something we dearly missed.
So you mentioned that there was a previous band member that put the band together, and there seems to be some personnel changes. But tell me about when all of this came together and how this kind of eclectic mix of genre became your signature sound.
So I met, the band was formed by Ravi, Tim, and Neil, they were always the core, but when the violin player quit, they were looking for another violin player. And I met Ravi through my school. I used to study at Humber College here in Toronto. And Ravi is an instructor there and saw me play on an ensemble concert in a bar close by in town, and asked me to join in. And I think from there on, we're always looking into, pushing the boundaries of what these instruments can do. And with Ravi's deep tradition of Indian classical music, combined with Tim's, deep knowledge of jazz and, jazz and experimental music, as well as Neil's just like talents as a composer is like, he's a force to be reckoned with for that. And then I think I'm just, open-minded and ready to try different things. All these different mentalities coming together made the sound of So Long Seven, but we've also been playing together for, 5 years or so. So at a certain point, you have to, try different things. If not, you become jaded really quick. But a lot of people also like associate our sound with, they just see the instrumentation and will be like, oh, this is bluegrass, it's a guitar, a banjo, a violin, and then it's really not that. There are some elements of bluegrass, of course, but I think we're past that a lot. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
I've never been in a band before. I'm not musically inclined, obviously, because I do, I have a radio show and I do interviews. It's just not something I do. But back in the day, in my 20s, I had good friends in Kansas City that were in a pretty popular band, and they would go out on the road. And I would go out with them sometimes, and I would help them do merch and all of that. And I remember one trip we took from Kansas City to Milwaukee, and we listened to David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, over and over. I mean, hundreds of times. And every time we put it on, we loved it. And I know that there was albums that were perennial for them to listen to together. So as a band, what album comes on in the car, the van, wherever, whatever you guys are driving, that you guys absolutely love from the realm of jazz that you guys listen to, and it's just a perennial?
Oh, God, that's a great question. There's so much that comes on, but one that we always agree on is Trilok Gurtu. He's one of our, big inspirations, especially one album of his. Archaeology is like one of the classic albums. We really love it. Living Magic also is really amazing. We're big fans of Shakti as well. Can't go wrong with Shakti. And there's also a lot of, we've listened to a lot of David Bowie as well, to be honest. I think those two artists are some of our favorites. What else? I mean, there's a lot of, new jazz, like Chris Potter, Brian Blade Fellowship, a lot of good stuff. But those are the first few names that come to mind.
So let's say, speaking of going on a road, let's say you come to Kansas City. You're promoting this album. And you have to come up with some kind of, some way of describing who you guys are and what a live show from you would be like to pitch it to a big club here, like the Green Lady Lounge or the Blue Room off 18th and Vine. How would you do that? What would you say to fill the seats and to have a crowd that would watch you all perform this album live?
This is a question that requires a lot of thought. This album is, to be performing it live is going to be a totally different experience than listening to it on the record. And I think that's a beautiful thing in a lot of ways. And we're still working on our live show for this upcoming tour. But the album in itself is an homage to a lot of artists we really enjoy, like Ken Oduak Ashavak. Is one of our a painter that we that we love. There's also an homage to some of the traditions, some stories from Rudy's childhood, and some stories about elephants, obviously. The album features this wonderful singer we've been collaborating with for a few years now. Her name is Samida Jogalkar, and she sings a song on there called Mara. It's an homage to an elephant who had to travel from Argentina to another sanctuary to, you know, keep her life or something like that. Neil would tell the story better. But this live show is, very eclectic. It's full of energy, full of tenderness. And it's, a mix of sounds that is definitely delicious to the ears. And we can't wait to go on stage and perform it for you guys. And we really hope we can vibe on the same wavelength.
Absolutely. So before we get to that point, anybody that wants to get the album, where's the best place for them to go and to figure out where live shows are and what you guys are up to?
Yeah, the album is available on all streaming platforms, but we obviously recommend Bandcamp. Bandcamp is a wonderful platform to encourage artists as well. And if you're audiophile, if you love the high quality sounds, you have the opportunity to download the album at a higher resolution on Bandcamp. So yeah, explore our Bandcamp page. There's also art on there by our wonderful artist who did the album covers. Yeah, Bandcamp is awesome. I think you should definitely check it out there. But again, it'll be available on all the different platforms.
Beautiful. William, hey man, thanks for opening up today. Good luck with the album and the live stage. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and groups in Canada, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to William on behalf of the band for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino in the iTunes store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.